See, my little sound waves aren't going up too much. They do a little bit. If I lean in and go,
test.
Check 1, 2.
It's there, and see, it hits that level fine. I'm sure it's good.
Well, pew.
And then that's pew. Fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think your input gain in GarageBand could be a little higher.
Ah, I know what that means. That's false.
Oh, okay. So, this guy just goes and, bigger.
Bigger.
You're right. Look at you.
Noise sound.
And that's why you go to school.
Used to go to school for sound, but I go to school now for just going to school.
And that's why you went to school. Hey, it's closer to 50 with guest host because the other one is deathly ill.
Kevin Replinger.
Look at him there. And then I'll put some audio bedding over it. Some nice.
Do you want to do a little playback and test our levels? See how it, because those look way low. Like, I mean, I would be like hesitant and not just be like, gain everywhere.
Well, then I'll stop it for a moment and we'll test. And
I think it's doable.
It was.
We'll throw a little noise reduction on there.
My biggest way of noise reduction is noise addition. By adding the bed of music, it gets rid of the staticky stuff.
Oh, man.
I also meant to turn off that heater that cat's sitting on. She'll be fine.
Cat, you going to be fine over there? If it was burning, it would not be sitting there.
I assume as an animal, her very base instinct is going to be to not be in a place that's going to be desperately uncomfortable. But hey, cats are dumb.
Hey, I mean, I would imagine that for like the next 10 minutes, though, it's going to be quite cozy. And then it's just going to be like, whoa, cat.
She digs on the warmth. So I always feel bad abandoning them in this basement here in the hometown.
In the great city of Aurora, Colorado.
Aurora, Colorado? That's where awful things have happened.
Yep.
Well, at least it didn't have a legacy once. Those were good times. And now here it is.
Man, I can't even set my mug down without everybody knowing I'm setting my mug down.
Wait until I put up the last time that Kyle was recording on this thing, because I didn't have a microphone stand for that one, so he's just waving it around like a crooner the whole time, and he's like banging it all over the place.
Man.
That'll be a fun one for me to actually go back and do stuff with. But I do have your other stuff. It's on a flash drive, and that flash drive is down in Durango. But I did panic briefly because I thought I had lost it, but it wasn't so much a bad, like, oh, I've lost it in my house that has minimum square footage. It was probably the most autistic thing that I've ever done in my entire life was waking up at like 1 or 2 in the morning on a Saturday thinking, at the end of the day of work on Friday, I heard a piece of plastic fall on the ground. And then I heard someone walk by and kick that piece of plastic. And then that piece of plastic made a very specific sound when it hit the metal leg of a desk. That's the sound of a flash drive if it dropped and got kicked and hit a desk. So then I dealt with the, like, oh, man, someone's going to find it. And, like, I don't always talk about, like, the best thing when I'm recording with people. So then I had to make the trek down in the morning. And then, hey, look at that. There was a flash drive on the floor. And I was impressed with my mutant skill of, ooh, I know what plastic sounds like.
Okay, so there's, it wasn't Deep Rising. It was probably some more spoof-like movie. But basically, a crew of people are hanging out in the submarine and they go quiet so people can't pick them up on the sonar, and one of the characters drops a whole bunch of change. He's like trying to buy a pack of gum, and the guy who's listening to the sonar on the other ship is like, that was 65 cents. You did that.
I was vastly impressed with my ability. I thought, hey, that's useless, but I found a flash drive.
This is the highest John has ever. And that pop you just heard was us returning to broadcast after the cat unplugged the soundboard. Yeah, punishment. Cat just lost the heat.
What a fantastic turn of events. How dangerous.
So I'm not actually certain what the next punishment for the cat will be, but stay tuned. And in episode whatever is after this one, you might find out about the next cat punishment.
Which is going to be inclusive of one fewer cat. Now I'm all paranoid. The whole time that I was setting this up, I'm like, we're up high, and I have so many cords, and I bet she's going to jump. But then as soon as we started, it went clear out of my mind. And then
she jumped.
God, I love that animal. Mm-hmm. As I stare at that urn across from me and wish that she was in there. That's probably not an urn, but it's there.
It's very urn-like, even if it's not an urn.
I'd open it, but no, there shouldn't be anything in there. The last time I think a family member was cremated, it's been long since dumped out somewhere in Gunnison. I guess at one point it was my grandmother. We went up to Gunnison, I think maybe the following year or so. We drive up there, go to like some scenic place, and I wound up wandering off somewhere because I didn't need to be there because it was all just her children and her husband and stuff, and they carry this box of ashes, and they all like emotionally like pick it up and sprinkle it all over the place. And then I guess they're standing there, and my grandfather's like, oh, I have something else in the car, and then goes out to the car and comes back with like a shoebox that just says cats on it, and then opens it up, and it's got like 9 Ziploc bags just full of ashes. Just turns it over, like, poof. Oh, family.
Man.
Just kept in a closet for like 2 decades. Just cat after cat after cat. Just in a shoebox called Cats.
But they had their final resting place together.
God bless those little animals.
Somewhere outside of Gunnison.
Somewhere. Ooh. I was in the shady part of Aurora today, briefly. Mm-hmm. I went over to Unique Thrift.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking for things, and then I made a right down Iliff, and as I kept on going, I was like, I'm going to turn around. Yeah. Because I knew there was a Barnes & Noble somewhere, but I didn't know well enough for me to bother searching.
Is there one on Iliff?
I don't think it's on Iliff.
Alameda.
There's Alameda, definitely.
Okay.
But I thought I was going the correct direction.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not as trusting and reliable with my sense of direction as I used to be.
And I'm, if anything, as trusty and reliable as I ever was. Which is why I wound up turning around, just went to the Barnes & Noble in Southlands, even though it's like, well, that's well out of my way.
Entirely the opposite direction for those of you who don't know the geography of southeastern suburban Denver.
Where I'm the midpoint, and went all the way off to one side, and then had to travel back through the midpoint to get all the way to the other side. It was a very linear trip.
But the other side is pretty swanky.
Than Eddie Bauer. Parked in front of an Eddie Bauer. I almost got Jamba Juice, but there wasn't anybody inside of it, even though they were open.
Weird. What's your favorite Jamba Juice?
It's been such a long time since I had Jamba Juice. I always liked the Orange Dream Machine because it was almost like an Orange Julius, but more shaky and therefore less healthy, even though an Orange Julius is very far down on the spectrum of health.
Right, right.
But then the only other one that sticks in my mind was Mango a Go-Go.
Yeah, yeah.
And that only sticks in my mind because Andrea once sent me a text about what she got when I asked her what she got at it, and her phone auto-corrected it to Man-Ho a Ho-Ho.
Man, because there's some things on the secret menu with Jamba Juice that don't need autocorrect, like Scream and Orgasm, which is actually quite good, which I'd hope given the name.
Yeah, I was looking at this. It was a news story. A hero monkey revives electrocuted friend.
Wow.
Was it India? Kanpur, probably. Sure, India. Let's see. Fellow primate electrocuted, fell unconscious. Rescue monkey went to action, tried rubbing, patting him, moved on to more drastic measure, dipping him in water. Everyone looked on, snapped photos, video, and everything. After about 20 minutes, the injured monkey started to show signs of life. From the looks of it, it seems he will be all right. And then it included a video, abbreviated though. It's not the whole 20 minutes. My opinion on it is that the hero monkey is not a hero monkey. But you can give me your thoughts on it. Because I think people are just like attributing like, oh, a human being would probably save another human being. But I don't see this as what that monkey's doing.
Wait, so do we have a doobly-doo so we can put the link for all the people so they can watch this right now?
It doesn't. It matters a little. It'll be old news by the time it ever gets up.
Old news? Well, I think there'll still probably be a link because John always does his due diligence.
Okay, so it's passed out, and then he's like rolling them all over the place, grabbing them. That doesn't look like saving to me. That's a mixture of two non-saving things. And then that's not rubbing and patting to me. And that's not, like, calmly dunking him in water.
Mm.
it's precious and all that, but I'm pretty sure that other monkey was trying to finish him off.
Yeah.
It was the biting on the neck that that sold it for me. Yeah, I wouldn't call him a hero monkey. He's just a monkey who is accosting his unconscious friend.
Yeah, I, you see the thing about the orangutan that a judge said, hey, you're a non-person human?
I did not.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, he gave the orangutan rights. I'm like, we need to work on making sure all people have rights before we start worrying about other species being deemed human enough to have rights. Because we do a pretty bad job of that.
Is he a straight orangutan?
I'm certain he's probably straight and also Anglo-Saxon.
Well, that's why.
He so probably also is a property owner.
Trust fund monkey.
What a dirty monkey.
Didn't earn a thing. Not monkey, ape. Trust fund ape.
I mean, actually, I think this is the same orangutan that, you know, was like a TV star or movie star for a long time, and then after that career ended, somebody like gained ownership of the monkey. However you gain ownership of monkeys, I'm not sure.
It's not like a slave trade sort of situation.
Right, I mean, you can purchase them, I get that, but it's like, do you have a deed to my monkey? Like,
that
maybe
seems...
Maybe that's the question the judge asked and said no, and then they're like, it's not a car. Must be a human.
No one signed this monkey over to you. Where's the receipt? Is this monkey registered? Have you put his new 2015 stickers on him?
Yep. Also, you probably have to test your monkey for emissions. I'm just saying.
That's hard because you don't always know where to open it. Because I don't when I bring my car in for emissions. Okay,
same
I don't have
true
to.
True of monkeys.
Yeah. Monkey only opens if monkey wants to open. You're not going to force it. I always wanted one as a kid. A monkey. Yeah. Even got to the point where I was like looking up where I could get them.
Where to retrieve a monkey.
Mostly black market situations. With the hopes that like maybe Craigslist someday. Someone's going to be like, slightly used. Just leaving them on the corner. Like, come by, first come, first serve, U-Haul kind of thing. Just like a couch. But oh well.
People have Craigslisted weirder things than a monkey.
They have. Food stamps.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
been reading. Durango, somebody did. They put their food stamps up there for cash, but he left all his contact information there, so then he went to jail. It's a shame with most criminals.
It's really a struggle.
A majority, not really thinkers. Oh, we're so close to Christmas Eve. I'm so wrapped. Oh, your gift is upstairs. You'll get it someday.
Oh.
Kyle's is too.
Your gift was finished today, but I didn't bring it because Kyle wasn't here.
That's fine. Kyle on death's door with some sort of cold nonsense.
My sister's kind of plaguey today, too. She didn't even hang out and make gingerbread houses with us.
What a Grinch.
Yeah.
She is a mean one. See, I told Kyle to just not take any more medicine and let the scotch be his real medicine, like a Confederate soldier.
Yeah.
I didn't go for it, though. And then he just said, I just got off work and I'm not feeling too awesome, so I'm going to head home. He hopes we're having fun, though.
Do you think a Confederate soldier would have scotch, or do you think a Confederate soldier would have moonshine?
Some sort
we
of
could find some terrible
sour.
Awful moonshine for Kyle.
Yeah, like the kind that they sell in mason jars. Do they do that around here? They do that
in
New Mexico.
Do that, but that's like the kitschy, you know...
It's moonshine, oh, gimmicky kind of thing.
No, we need to find somebody who actually brews it in their bathtub.
Yeah.
And doesn't cut it with, like, apple pie or whatever the hell.
Just ethanol.
Yeah.
And rubbing alcohol in
a
bathtub.
Bath scum. Yeah. Soap scum from the bath.
The kind of good stuff that you dip the spoon in and then you lift it up and the spoon, like a cartoon, is all, like,
oh,
melted.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, good, it's ready.
Whatever that stuff is called in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? What is that awful liquid called?
I hate having to rely on the computer to bring me something. I saw one of those weird bobblehead things of the guy from Roger Rabbit.
Not the rabbit?
No, the
big
evil
live-action
guy.
Human dude?
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd, whoever he played.
All right.
Was he a
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I feel so useless, though. If fine internet, who framed... Oh, last night we were talking, and Sarah had asked me what the like weirdest question that a kid asked me was.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought of another one, too, that they asked me very recently. As I'm searching right here, it was when I was looking up something and somebody said, why are you using Google? Bing is better. That's right on par with like, what on earth is wrong with you? Why would you ask me that question?
Did you really? Like, what?
Sure, Peter Parker uses Bing, but who else?
What kind of product placement did Microsoft put in your Xbox?
Too much product placement to get someone to switch to Bing.
Judge Doom.
But it's called something.
Yeah, it's got a fancy, weird name.
Ooh, I tried watching it not that long ago because it is on Netflix.
Dip.
The Dip.
The Dip.
Oh, yeah, and then he kills that poor little shoe and it's all squeaky and then it's all melted. Oh, yeah, the Judge Doom thing. It's holding a shoe.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, weird bobblehead things that they're all like the same body,
mm-hmm.
but it's just got like different, like a hat on, or it's like Doctor Who, so he's holding a screwdriver,
right?
Or Spider-Man, so he's wearing a mask kind of thing. It was one of those, and it seemed like that's a weird character to own, where it's like, I'm rooting for this guy who kills toons and then gets run over by a steamroller, and that's all I remember from this movie. Too much Toontown. Christopher Lloyd. I bet he's super old. 76. Not super old. Old. Older than me. Considerable.
Favorite movie that Christopher Lloyd was in? Angels in the Outfield.
Ooh. I don't remember much of that except for like it being a WB Sunday afternoon movie and like just seeing like him in the stands like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's what I got, too.
Is that all that he really does? Just cheers him on?
Well, JP and Miguel.
I'd probably... Where would I go? I'd go Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's good, too. No, I'm weird. I just saw Angels in the Outfield before I ever saw any of the Back to the Futures, so it kind of, like, has its place cemented in my existence.
I'm getting the sense that I haven't seen a lot. Clue was a very early one that I saw him in. Oh, he was a voice in DuckTales the movie. Treasure of the Lost Lamp. That's over there somewhere.
We may have to get to that later this
DuckTales.
Evening.
DuckTales. Woo-hoo. Something, something. Bad and something. Locktails.
DuckTales. Woo.
Sticks.
The danger lurks behind you. There's a stranger out to find you.
To do so much
is grab onto
do.
Some DuckTales. Woo!
Something about Daring Do. Daring Do, good and bad luck. I'm missing a syllable.
Yeah.
Bad and good luck tales. Bad and good luck tales. Woohoo. I don't
bad luck and good luck tales.
Tales of Daring Do and something.
Luck tales.
It's hard, and I'm not gonna look that one up. I'll just live. Yeah. I'll live with my lack of knowledge. Oh, he was Pagemaster too.
Man.
He played the librarian who like comes in at the end. He's like, "What are you doing here?"
Pagemaster.
And he also voiced like the wizard, the Pagemaster.
Oh,
I guess he's the titular thing.
He was the voice of Rasputin in Anastasia.
Who on earth is Rasputin? Is he the bat?
That awful. No. That's Bartok. Rasputin is the villain.
The villain? That guy?
Yeah. Well, except for...
I guess he was a real man. He's a mystical faith healer.
He was poorly depicted in the movie. Rasputin, the real one, just, like, would not die.
Oh, that Rasputin.
Yeah.
As if I knew another one. I didn't piece it together.
It's all right.
That's right. That guy, the evil-looking guy in the background
there?
Yeah,
that terrifying thing. It was like... 20th Century Fox attempted, you know, an Anglo Jafar.
Is he quite Anglo? Though?
He's not Anglo.
Yeah.
He's,
I mean, they're very solidly in Russia.
Christopher Lloyd is Anglo.
He is. What a white man. Horribly white man.
No. Okay. A Russian Jafar.
That's better. And slightly less offensive in 1997 when no one cared about. Like Red Scare. Oh yeah, he was in Piranha 3D, rather. And then in 3DD as well. That's the only time I killed an animal with my car was the night that I saw Piranha 3D. I went with that weird roommate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we went and we saw it. And I was thinking, like, that was awful. And, of course, he's like, that was the best movie ever. It's like, oh, boy. And we leave, and it's, like, really dark because it was, like, an 8 o'clock showing or so. So we're driving home at, like, 10. And then I go over this hill on the highway. I'm going 55 at this point. And my headlights just go straight ahead. Of course, like headlights should do. Headlights were, like, blaring out the sides. I couldn't see a thing. Going straight ahead, and I go over this little bump, and then there's a skunk in the road. Probably, like, 50, 100 yards away. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, it's a shame you're such a dumb animal, because if you weren't a dumb animal, you'd stay right in the middle of this lane, and then everything would be fine. But you have such a loud thing moving toward you at such speed that, of course, you're going to try to run, and there's only a concrete barrier to the side. You got nothing. And I would have been more okay with it if, at the very last second, the skunk did not turn to face me.
Oh.
Saw its eyes, and then... And then my roommate's just cackling the whole time.
You totally creamed him.
Leave me alone. I just killed an animal. And then I was thinking, after I had gotten out of Piranha 3D, was like, well, at least that's the worst thing that's going to happen to me today, this movie. And then I took a life.
And you also had to smell that life.
Yeah, it was, let's see, was that my, that was my Toyota at that point, so it wasn't so bad. Because I only had that Toyota for maybe another 3 months or so after. Oh, yeah, he was in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. I liked him. I liked the first Sin City. I was okay with this one. There wasn't hardly anybody else in my theater. You a fan of the Sin City film?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see it, The Dame to Kill For, though.
No one even knew that it came out. I was impressed enough that it came out. I was like, oh, I'll go see it. Maybe it's not packed. And then I went, and it was the exact opposite of packed, and then I was one of the 4 people in that theater. Only once have I ever gone to a movie where I was absolutely the only person. And it spoiled me probably for the rest of my life.
Because it was such a glorious experience.
It was. I just got to sit like right dead center, and then like no one's all whispering. Because I don't know, I irrationally hate when people watch a preview and then as soon as the preview ends, like,
oh,
I tense up.
See that one.
I tense up.
Oh, that one looks so good.
Oh, just, I mean, I hate it so much, and I don't know why. But I got to, it was Her. It was the second time I saw the movie Her. And of course, it was a vacant theater because it was the Super Bowl day. I was just killing time until the Super Bowl so I could be disappointed later. So at least I had that high point on my day.
Those of you who don't know, we're both from Denver. This was the first season that our dear friend John ever became invested in professional football.
My poor heart.
Poorest heart. Yeah. But yeah, Her.
At least I saw it all by myself.
And it was amazing.
Walked in and sat there in the center. I had to sit up a lot straighter than I normally do, though, because I was thinking as I was slumping in my seat, I was like, oh, what if they don't see that somebody's in here and then they don't show the movie? But yeah, I got to see it, and then it, like, yeah, it was, I enjoyed that movie. Far more than I should.
I unfortunately have yet to see it.
Oh, I would have brought it. I would. You'll need to see it.
Yeah.
I didn't get the chance to see Birdman either.
I haven't seen Birdman. Yeah.
I'm sure it's playing somewhere around here.
But I did go see Boyhood after you told me to.
So good.
It was quite good.
It's long, but it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to just cut out years of his life. They already did that.
They did. Quite a few.
Yeah.
Even President Obama said that was his favorite movie of the year.
Wow.
Which was like, that's a really non-polarizing choice. Good job. I was reading something else that said, like, was like, yeah, you're not going to say, like, I loved Nymphomaniac Part 2. Like, it's going to be something. It's critically acclaimed.
Did you see that blah, 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 Von Tier, blah, blah, that guy? Lars
Von Trier.
Yeah, yeah, that guy. He said apparently now that he's out of rehab, he can no longer make films anymore because he can't make films sober.
I understand that
entirely.
The very first episode, number 1 of this thing, we talk about Lars von Trier. So you're bringing it back. We talked about Antichrist, the Willem Dafoe one.
Oh.
There's a fox that talks, and then like his junk gets nailed to the ground. Graphic detail. It's wonderful in its own right.
I'm just imagining, so like David Fincher, Finchner, whatever his name is.
Fincher, yeah.
Fincher, yeah. He did, you know, he's done a lot of pretty exceptional films, but like the really graphic one that I can think of is Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Ah, oh,
and I was
yeah.
imagining, especially with the location of where that plot is set, if Lars von Trier had directed it, and just how absolutely unwatchably painful that would have been.
How 2 hours of the 3-hour film would be like the rape and subsequent carving into a man. Like, yeah, like all the mystery solving stuff's good too. Like, I like Daniel Craig, like, go James Bond, but like, we're gonna focus on the really, really messed up stuff.
Yeah, you thought that big black piece of latex was big before.
Oh, I think that might be a good way to end this particular one, because I always like to have the title come from something that somebody else said, and usually it's Kyle. And I'll have to go back and listen to exactly what you said, but I think I like the, you think that big black piece of latex was big before. That has some sort of power with it. Oh, and the best part here is I don't even have to stop recording. I can just be like, hey, that was a meandering Closer to 50. That was Kevin Replinger, guest host.
And that was John Rose, your host with the most.
And then we end and immediately pick up in a second.